Maundy Thursday is a rich time for a preacher because there are just so many themes that are available to explore. But don't worry, I'm not going to try them all tonight. I've narrowed it down to just one. What I'd like us to do is reflect for just a short while on this strange thing that Jesus did as he sat with his disciples celebrating the Passover. It's something we heard in Paul's reminding the Corinthian church of what he'd received concerning what came to be known as the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, Holy Communion. And I'd like us to think about it in context of our practice here at St. Stephen's and many other United Churches. It's our peculiar practice of the open table. Holy Communion has played a vital role in Christian life since the Church's first days. And like important things regularly do in the life of the Church, they soon develop controversies. And those controversies continue to this very day. What happens on the table, and who presides at the table, and who has access to what happens on the table, the issues around these things abound. It becomes very complicated. And so there are parts of the church that actually bar people from the table unless they've taken some sort of training or unless they've taken a membership course of some sort or that they ask that you be a part of their particular fellowship. And I believe in some parts of the church there are occasionally they even put age restrictions on who can come to the table. And I would expect preachers from those churches would preach a somewhat different sermon than I would tonight. And that's absolutely fine. I'm sure some of them are. But what intrigues me are some of the attitudes toward the sacraments of communion that have developed. And some of them, to be quite frank, are just strange. For example, I served in a United Church for a while that would only ever see a handful of people come forward for communion. And after a while, I kind of noticed, because we had a lot of bread and juice left over. And I asked why people were so reticent and discovered that there was a kind of a local attitude to communion that was that you had to be good enough. That unconfessed sin, or perhaps even confessed sin, as far as I could tell, this would keep you away from the table. And so what happened on the night before, or even the week before, or sometimes even 2 years before, meant that you were not to receive the bread and the wine. I thought that was curious. And then there's atmosphere. There's a propensity in some parts of the church, and at different times in the church year, and tonight's probably a good example of that. But there are times when the view of what actually happens here at the table is a bit somber. And sometimes to the point of discomfort. And I wonder about that. I'm not sure that that's what communion is really about. And please understand, I am not suggesting for a moment trivializing communion. I'm not about lessening its importance. In fact, I would go so far as to say we would benefit greatly by placing far more emphasis on communion in our common life. But I think that there is also lots of room for deepening our understanding of this mystery of the Lord's table. And I know that sounds a bit paradoxical, but I think there's much that can be learned even in a mystery. So our text from Corinthians is a most helpful one for us in thinking this through. What do you think Jesus meant when he asked us to remember, "Do this in remembrance of me"? A little earlier in 1 Corinthians, in the same chapter, Paul, he kind of has at the Corinthian church. He's pretty upset about what they're doing around the communion table because it's not what he taught them. Remember, Paul had some role in founding the Corinthian church. But it's been some years since he's been there, and it sounds like they've been doing some serious drifting in the meantime. In particular, communion has degenerated into something rather bizarre. Some church folk were actually hogging all the food on the communion table, and other church folk were getting quite drunk, and it was a scandal. So what had happened? Well, I would suggest to you that Paul had established the feast as something that was fairly joyous, and it had mutated into something fairly raucous. So here's the thing. What are the odds that something established as an act of serious introspection would become riotous? See, I would guess it's far more likely that something designed to be a joyous outpouring might shift that way. And I suspect that Paul had instructed the Corinthians that the table was something that spoke to Jesus' triumph. And so the attitude of someone coming to this table was originally thankful and joyous and delighted. And they had a sense of, in some way, coming to the table and joining in Jesus' victory. And with the passing of time and in the absence of some wise leadership, that rejoicing had mutated into something far less commendable. And so Paul needed to intervene to straighten some things out. In verse 27, Paul writes, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner." So like, what's that about? Or what would be a worthy manner? I suppose one way of looking at it is we could all do some sort of self-test, right? So we could come to the Lord's table in a worthy manner. After all, in the very next verse, Paul talks about examining yourselves. So what kind of examination would we choose? What would be the test? How do we measure up? What would the scale that we'd use? Would it be our understanding of why Jesus did what he did for us? Do you have to be smart to come to the table? Do you have to be strong in the faith to come to the table? Am I supposed to be bringing something with me when I come up to the Lord's table? Am I to bring my intelligence, my wisdom, my understanding, my good intentions? How do I pay for admission to this table? If you're weak, are you allowed to come here? Do you have to be strong? Do you have to be sure? Honestly, I think that's like saying to someone who's thirsty, "Well, once you're no longer thirsty, please come back and I'll give you something to drink." No, this table is designed to make us strong. The purpose of this table is to supply healing to the sick. The purpose of this table is to bring forgiveness to those Saturday night losers. Heck, those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night losers. All who need forgiveness. I don't think examining ourselves is about getting ourselves right to come to the table. I think it's much more likely it's about figuring out that we're not right. It's about recognizing we are not in the slightest way worthy to be here. I mean, that's a question to ask, isn't it? So, who is worthy to come to the Lord's table? I'll give you the answer. None of us. Not one single one of us. I mean, I know I'm sure not. And, well, the ones of you I know, hey, you're not doing so good either, to be honest. So who's worthy here? Who's worthy here? The Lamb. That's pretty much it. Which is why tomorrow is so important. The Lamb who takes away the sin of the world is worthy. And because he takes away the sin of the world, you and I can approach this table and we can find life here. If you were to look through John chapter 6, you'll see that Jesus spends a lot of time talking about bread in that chapter. It's just filled with bread images. And I don't think you can read it without coming away with some allusions to to what we've come to know as communion. And at one point he actually says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And can you imagine how the disciples first heard that? I mean, they've got to have been wondering if he was advocating cannibalism. What have we joined ourselves up with? But Jesus, he was pointing them to the day when we would come to this table, when we would understand that we don't really understand, when we might examine ourselves to determine our worth, and we'd know that it really isn't a question of our worth, but his worth. Through what we will remember together tomorrow, through what will happen on the cross, it is there that we find our worth. And so we do nothing to earn worthiness, but boy, do we remember his. I mean, there's a reason why we in the church talk about celebrating Holy Communion. It is meant to be a joyous event. We are celebrating Jesus. We are celebrating his faithfulness. We are celebrating his worthiness. We remember what he did on the cross and how he provided healing and wholeness. I mean, Jesus wants us to come to this table. And he wants us to remember, and I think he wants us to remember at least a couple of things. Do you think that when Jesus instituted the table, saying that he wanted us to come together regularly to break bread and to drink from the cup, do you think he wanted us to remember how much it hurt him? I mean, was he saying, and I want you to remember how painful this was, and don't you forget whose fault this is? I don't think so. I was thinking that he probably wanted us to remember that every time we take the bread and drink from the cup, that he set us free. You know, this is about getting out of condemnation. It's about getting unbound. It's about remembering that healing is available to us. It's ours. For indeed, God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So, who can come to the Lord's table? Sounds to me like pretty much anyone's welcome. Anyone who's hungry for Jesus. He's saying to those who are thirsty, come on and drink. This table is meant to be open to all. And my sense is that restricting it only limits its power to change us. Limits people's ability to come and remember and honor our Lord Jesus when we partake. So as we come to this table this night, come as you are. Come with your strength and come with your weakness. Come with your brokenness. Come with your wholeness. Come with your wisdom. Come with your foolishness. Come with triumph. Come with rejoicing. Come with thanksgiving. Come to this table that is so gloriously prepared for us by our Lord Jesus in what he will do tomorrow. Come to the table. Thanks be to God. Amen.